So this is called The Runner. Last night you'd been drunk, but not legless. You checked your run in a camera shop window along the Strand. You were surprised by the uniformity of your stride, even after the altercation. You'd been at the work Christmas party. You'd used alcohol to free up your self-expression. You liked yourself when you drank. You were funny. You told jokes, some unusual, and had chatted at one of the secretaries from litigation. The one you've always liked. The one who looks up and smiles when she types. The one who last night told you she had a boyfriend. She repeated this 7 times, only because you kept saying, "Have I died and gone up to heaven? Because I see an angel standing before me." By the 3rd time she replied, she wasn't smiling. And by the 7th, she was crying. You were shocked by this, so you took yourself to the bar, had a few vodkas, and you shouted that she'd led you on, and that women weren't angels, they were rat-like witches with broomsticks for tails. That was when the security man, he had the acme smell of brute and wore the uniformity of a traffic warden, tapped you on the shoulder. Was that the altercation? You can't be sure. But blood from your fingers has left a tell-tale imprint on your sheets this morning. Had you smashed a bottle? You can't remember, but you do remember there was blood on the soles of your feet when you got into your flat. You were running. Out of the hotel, when you saw your boss say something, and for some reason, maybe the zeitgeist of footballers spitting at each other, you spat at him. You missed, but you hit his father, the septuagenarian president, and he stood there amazed. You were chased, and your chest hurt, but your legs, your regular legs, kept pumping. As you ran out into the night, you thought about the 1,500 metres and your boyhood hero, Steve Ovett, infinitely preferable and sexier than little Seb Coe. And as you imagined tall Geordie Steve Cram in chase, you found yourself running down an alleyway. At the end of it, you bumped into a police car. A young policeman spoke young policeman lines. "You're in a hurry, sir? Everything okay?" You started jogging on the spot. "Perfectly fine, officer. I'm practicing for the Olympics." That was the folly of drink speaking. You knew it as soon as you'd said it. "Very good, sir. Why don't you calm down and stand still for a moment? I need to get home." "What's the hurry, sir?" "No hurry. You appear to be upset." "I'm happy as Larry," you said, still pumping the spot. You wanted him to say who's Larry, but he didn't. He just kept on. "Has something or someone upset you?" Stalling was proving an irrelevance, and so you took up the pistol start and ran. The other policeman emerged from the shadows and tripped you up. You went sprawling, saved your face with your hands, cut your fingers in the process. The polite policeman helped you up. The tripper policeman, larger, scarier than the other, took up the baton. He had a loud, squeaky voice, like he'd sucked up a blast of helium. "Now stand still and bloody answer!" Good cop, bad cop. Nice cop, squeaky cop. You said the former. "Nah, both bad cops. What's your name?" said Squeaky. "Steve Cram," you replied. "The runner," said Nice, taking back the baton. Ovett. They stared at you. "I've a race to get to." Nice then pointed out that you had a name badge on the left lapel of your jacket. "It's not my name." "Then that's not your jacket, is it, sir?" "No, it is my jacket. There was just a mix-up with name badges." "Who's got yours, Sebastian Coe?" asked Squeaky. "Shall we take it that your name is Paul McMaster, sir?" said Nice, reading from your badge. "If you like." "Otherwise," Squeaky slipped in, "otherwise we could be asking how you got to be wearing Mr. Coe's jacket." You were confused. They were smiling. A short moment passed without anything being said. "Do you realise it's an offence to impersonate someone else?" they said together like a comedy duo. Your head was full of Mike Yarwood. Squeaky continued, "And it's an offence to give false information to the police, and that anything you say from now on will be noted down in evidence and could be used should a criminal prosecution arise from any of your answers to our questions," said Nice, but no longer that Nice. "I'm a solicitor," you said. "Not a runner," they said. "I'm a solicitor. I'm a solicitor." They took your name and address, and you told them that you'd got drunk and disgraced yourself at the work Christmas party. You told them that you were still drunk and that you were very, very sorry. They seemed to like this, valued your candour and your sense of remorse. They warned you about your future conduct and cautioned you. that they would keep a record of the conversation for the duration of the night in case your details tallied with any disturbance or incident later on. After that, they'd lose the paperwork. Your legal brain liked the term lose the paperwork. Short-circuiting, a camaraderie transaction of the law amongst professionals, not making it up, just saving time. You thank them, and they offer to drop you at the night bus stop. No, no, you said. I need to get some air, Dave. You understand?